Light travels over the curved silhouetted lines of a stylized apple and leaf. Apple Original Films. Slashes of multicolored light form stylized letters. A24. Animated stars sparkle over budding long-stemmed flowers. Excellent cadaver. A title fades in. Causeway. On an overcast day, a blonde woman in a coat sits by a road with a man in military fatigues standing in front of her. A car passes. She remains still and unblinking. The man peers at a clipboard and a station wagon slows to a stop. The woman raises her chin as a figure gets out.
Hey, Jim.
Morning.
A white-haired woman strides up to the man and signs his clipboard.
Thanks.
He steps away.
Is that all you're traveling with, honey?
The blonde woman nods.
I'm Sharon.
Smiling, Sharon looks behind the woman and turns to her car. Jim follows, pushing the blonde woman in a wheelchair. Later, in a curtained room, the woman sits on the bed. Sharon enters wearing scrubs.
You wear a medium?
The woman stays still.
Okay. Cell phone is prepaid. Somewhere on here, it tells you the number. I was trying to think what else to get you. It's always different with each person. Eye drops, hairspray, whatever. Last guy liked to use conditioner instead of shaving cream. You just let me know what you need.
She pulls back the curtains. Dim sunlight streams in, and the blonde woman blinks.
Do you need me to go slower?
The blonde woman shakes her head. Sharon slowly pulls the blonde woman's sweatshirt off her left arm and over her head. Lowers it over her right arm and pauses. The woman tries to pull it down with her left hand. Her fingers slip off. Watching, Sharon nods. The blonde woman looks away as Sharon takes the sweatshirt off her.
There you go. Good.
Later, the woman wears pajamas. Sharon helps her stand.
I'm sure you're more of an adventurer. I can't stand planes. Don't like being up in the air and all the people breathing down your neck.
In a bathroom.
Good job, honey.
The blonde woman sits on the toilet.
All right. Now, stand up slowly.
Sharon helps her up.
Bathrooms can be dangerous.
At the sink.
Here, let me help you.
The woman misses her mouth with her toothbrush. Sharon guides her hand and the woman bobs her head as they brush her teeth. Nighttime. From the bed, the woman stares up at the ceiling fan. Daylight shines through the curtains over the speckled ceiling. The woman stares up at it. At a table.
Frank liked naproxen better than Advil. He had bursitis in his shoulder. He worked in the plant packing TV dinners. I wouldn't eat him. All that ammonium. Probably what got him sick.
Sharon hands her a pill.
How long ago was that?
9 years. I got so good at taking care of him, I thought, why can't I do that for a living? So I went back to school and got licensed.
What a miserable life.
The woman goes still in her seat at the table, then looks up at Sharon.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. People say things they don't mean. Sometimes they can't remember words. It'll get easier.
At a hospital, the woman uses a walking frame to slowly step up a hallway with Sharon following. In a doctor's office.
Do you remember this man's name?
He holds a card with a black and white photograph.
John Jones.
He flips the picture of an elderly man to one of a young girl.
Mary Black?
He flips to a middle-aged woman.
I have no idea.
Later, she sits in a hallway, arms spread.
Okay. And now with the other hand?
A man in scrubs watches her move a finger toward her face. She misses her chin.
You got it.
Standing on a dome between two bars, she stumbles.
It's all right, come on back.
The woman in scrubs behind her helps her straighten. In her room, the blonde woman sits on her bed, writing on a pad with long, jerky strokes. She stares at it and tosses it away. At night, a dim light shines on the porch of a dark house. In her room, the blonde woman holds her head and moves a pillow out of the way to roll across her bed. She lifts her head.
Sharon! Sharon!
Light falls on her face.
You're okay. You're okay, honey. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Just breathe. Listen to me.
Eyes darting around, she clings to Sharon.
It's okay. You're okay. That's it. Just breathe. Just breathe. In and out. In and out.
Sharon holds a trash can as the woman throws up.
One more. One more.
She feeds her a pill.
You're doing great. Good. This is a big one. You won't be like this later.
In the shower, the woman sits on a stool holding the shower head as Sharon scrubs her back.
Are you with me?
Opening her eyes, she nods and Sharon rubs a loofah over her. Fade to black. In the daytime, a pair of sneakered feet jog down a street. With bright sunlight shining over her, the blonde woman slows to stride up a driveway to a carport.
Thank you.
Sharon unloads gardening supplies from her car and the woman grabs a bag. Later, she stands at a window watching Sharon work in her yard. Sharon enters a back door.
Can we go for a drive before it gets dark?
Later, Sharon's station wagon travels up a road between green fields and a small lake. The blonde woman drives.
Let's take this right into town.
In the passenger seat, Sharon watches her click the signal and make the turn.
Look at you.
They smile.
You're ready to go.
The woman's smile freezes on her face, then slowly fades. Sharon's eyes shift from the road to the woman, who starts crying.
Pull over. You need to pull over just to the side of the road. Right here.
The car slows to a stop on the shoulder of the road.
Sorry.
It's okay. I know this is hard.
This isn't hard. Driving a car shouldn't be a victory.
She wipes her nose.
I mean, leaving
transition can be hard. If you're not feeling ready, we can look into extending your stay.
I can't pay for that. I should be getting back anyway.
Back home?
No, back to work. Redeploy.
She glances at Sharon. Sharon frowns.
You've made a lot of progress, but you're not ready to go back to work. Not nearly.
Then what the hell? What's the point in all of this?
She peers at Sharon. Sharon looks away and takes a deep breath. The woman puts the car in gear, checks her mirror, and drives back onto the road. In her bedroom, the woman packs a suitcase.
Don't forget what we talked about, okay? Organize yourself. Prep for memory gaps. Make lists. Keep your lists. Put like with like. Find two of something. Put them together like we worked on.
I'm not going to forget.
People do. They can get a little ahead of themselves. Well, what's your plan for getting home from the bus? We can write it down.
Sharon opens a pad.
My mom is going to pick me up from the bus station.
Anyone else going to be around? Your brother?
The woman faces away from Sharon.
I haven't really been home in a while, and it's not like I'm staying for long, so.
It can help to be with people.
I'm good on my own.
Sharon frowns. She turns to the nightstand.
Ativan, dipper coat, Cymbalta.
Rehab's not over.
You're gonna have to work hard every day to do all the things you used to do.
She hands over a bag of medication.
I'm gonna be fine.
Sharon watches her close and zip up her bag. On a bus, the woman sits in a window seat, pale sunlight illuminating her expressionless face as she looks out. Overgrown fields pass outside the rain-speckled window. She turns away and digs a pill bottle out of the pocket from her hoodie. She opens it and takes a pill. Frowning with her head bowed, she swallows hard. She turns her face back to the window as the bus drives over a bridge. The scenery outside changes to a blue sky with fluffy white clouds over a large domed stadium in a city with tall buildings. On a street, the bus drives away, revealing the woman standing outside a building with her bag. Luggage pass behind her as she lowers the handle and sits on her suitcase. Later, she rolls the bag under an overpass, then stands at a curbside bus stop in a residential neighborhood. A bus stops and she gets on. Bright sunlight shines on her face as the bus drives through the city, and she closes her eyes for a moment. Her bag over an uneven sidewalk beside a house. She stops and peers at a small house with a large tree out front across the street. She opens the screen, peers through the glass-paned door, and tries the knob. In a side yard, she looks inside an empty pool with plants growing in the muck at the bottom. She crouches at an overgrown plant bed, picks up a key under a brick, and looks at a truck parked in a covered driveway. She steps up to peer inside, climbs the steps to a back door, and unlocks it to enter a kitchen. She drapes her hoodie over a chair at a small table by a window, drops the keys, and walks through into the house. She looks around a hallway and steps up to an open door. She enters a room with storage boxes covering the bed, and magazines and smaller boxes cluttering the dressing table and cabinet surfaces. She looks around and walks up to a door across the room. She stands at the threshold and stares at another room. She steps up to a bed, sits, and takes off her shoes. Sighing, she looks around, her shoulders slumped. She pulls herself up the bed to the lumpy pillows and lies on her side. Sunlight falls over her from a window above the bed, casting shadows of tree branches on another door in a corner. At night, darkness fills the room.
Lindsay?
A woman stands at the door.
Lindsay, I thought you said you were coming on Friday.
She approaches the bed.
Are you okay? I'm fine.
The woman sits on the bed beside Lindsay.
I asked Debbie to get off work early Friday. I was gonna get groceries, clean out the truck for you. Get a cake, pick you up. It's gonna be a homecoming on Friday.
It's okay.
The woman looks over her shoulder.
Hey, you wanna meet Dad?
No, I need to sleep.
We'll keep it down. I gotta go to work early. But you sleep in.
Lindsay nods and the woman leans closer. Rising, she walks to the door, a purse hanging from the crook of her arm. Daytime. In the kitchen, pots and dishes fill an old-fashioned sink. Lindsay looks at the few jars in the fridge, then opens the freezer, finding it empty. In the cluttered bedroom, she carries one of the packing boxes into the second room. She sets a pile of magazines on a dressing table by a picture of two smiling children. She notices a pair of sunglasses and grabs them. In the cleaned bedroom, she organizes her pills on the empty dresser, sets out a small box with rusty keys and writes a note. She sits at the kitchen table with a laptop. Later, she strides into a warehouse.
Can I help you?
I was wondering if you're still hiring.
To clean pools?
Yeah.
You home for the summer? You in college?
I just got back from Afghanistan.
Oh. Thank you for your service. My father was in the Navy, Korean. But why do you want to clean pools?
I like the water. I used to clean the pools over at Newman.
I guess there's not a lot of swimming pools in Afghanistan.
Not where I was, no.
Can you drive?
Yeah.
Great. Start tomorrow?
Sure.
Later, she drives the truck up a street. The vehicle jerks. She pulls off her sunglasses and stares at the dash. She looks around, signals, and spins the wheel, making a sharp U-turn. The other car speeds away.
Fuck!
She slams the steering wheel, the front of the truck smoking. Breathing heavily, she covers her face with her hand. Later, the truck slowly drives up a sloped lane and stops in front of a garage. Lindsay grips the steering wheel, her head bowed and chest heaving. She scowls and takes a deep breath. She slowly lifts her face and gets out. A man steps out of the garage and waves a bandana over the smoking hood.
Ooh, yeah. This is 85 Scottsdale. Old body style truck. Yeah. Got you a nice truck.
Yeah. Not anymore.
How long have you been doing this?
Just now? I don't know. It's not mine.
When was the last time you changed the oil in it?
She frowns.
I don't know.
He nods.
All right. Sorry. Hey, Santiago! You can wait inside. You got air in there. Yeah.
Lindsay sits against the side of a building, holding a soda, with a notepad beside her. She watches the man with the bandana and a second man stand in front of the truck's open hood. The first man approaches.
So, probably just a carburetor? Now, if it is, I can just get that part on eBay. It ain't that hard to find. It may take a while to get here. In a hurry?
I don't know how long I'll be here. How much is it gonna cost?
Maybe about a refitting, phone plus labor. Making more if we get in there and find it needs some more work.
I don't know if I want to fix it. It's not even mine. It's...
Oh, no, not that. I mean, that's a nice truck.
She glances at the truck, frowning.
Okay, how about you just leave it here with us? And when I get the part, I'll call you for an estimate, yeah?
I don't know my number.
I mean, it's just business.
No, I really don't know my number.
She swallows, peering up at him.
How about you call me and your number will show up, okay? Can I see your phone? So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna call me, right? And that way my number will show up, right? Simple as that. It's open.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
He gives her phone back and strides away with a glance over his shoulder. Street, Lindsay tosses her soda can into a trash can. She passes a restaurant and stops on the sidewalk, leaning her hands on her thighs. She bends over, her skin gleaming with sweat. She looks at her shadow.
Hey, 85 Scottsdale. You okay?
I'm fine.
And it's real hot out. You want to ride?
He watches from his car.
Where are you headed?
I'm just down near Chopping Bottle.
I guess Snowball?
No. Shit, maybe.
She smiles. Later, she sits in the man's passenger seat.
Hey, you wanna play some music? You can pick whatever CD you like.
She flips through a CD album and feeds one into a deck in the glove compartment.
My grandma used to play this record. She loves her some Ernie. She's making a joke out of the blues, you know.
You grew up here?
Yeah, born and raised. You?
Same.
Where you go to high school?
Newman.
Ooh.
I had a scholarship.
I went to De La Salle.
Oakland, right?
You know, most people, they just call me Jam.
I knew a Jess O'Quinn that went to De La Salle.
That would be my sister.
I played against her in basketball. She was tough.
He nods, his gaze lowered. She peers at him for a long moment, then looks away.
weirdest thing about this song is that he actually got buried with his mother-in-law down in Claiborne.
That's ironic. Yep. Guess that's why people don't buy CDs anymore.
No, but I'm old school, so. Yeah.
He taps his finger against the wheel and she smiles.
You know this one, right?
Here come the girls.
That's it. That's it. Okay, Newman.
She glances at him. Later, the boxy older model sedan pulls away from in front of Lindsay's house as she climbs the steps to the door. She sits at home in the dark. On an upscale residential street, she pulls a large coil out of a truck bed.
All right. First you scrub, then you use your skimmer, get all your flowers and leaves off the surface. Then you get your leaf rake, that's the heavy net. You get all your rocks, twigs, acorns, stuff that'll clog your main drain and damage your pump. Hey, you okay? Can you handle all that?
Yeah, main drain.
All right, good. So then you empty the drains. And the drains are serious. You don't know what's in those drains. You can tell a lot about a person because of what's in the pool drains.
They enter a pool gate.
You really got to give it some more muscle.
Lindsay moves a pole in the water.
There you go. People treat the pools like shit. Out of chlorine. Grabbing some from the truck.
He jogs away and she pauses for a moment. Later, she adds a white disc to a drain.
You think you can handle this on your own?
Yes, sir.
Great, and you can start with Octavia Street tomorrow.
Smiling, she closes the drain. At night in her room, she plays a card-matching memory game. She collects the cards and sets their box aside.
Yes, baby. Okay, I'll see you later.
Oh, you're in here. I didn't see the truck.
It's at the shop.
What's wrong with it? What's it gonna cost?
Don't worry about it. I'll pay for it.
That's not what I meant. How are you feeling?
Good. Okay. I'm good.
Come sit with me a while. I could use a drink.
Her mother purses her lips.
You tired?
Yeah.
Right.
She leaves, closing the door behind her, and Lindsay scoots down the headboard, her knees bent in front of her. In the daytime, Lindsay moves the cleaning pole along the sides of a pool surrounded by trees. In another pool of a house with distressed walls showing bare brick, and at another with brick flooring around the pool. Pulling out her phone, a message from car mechanic Guy reads, "You left your notebook in my car. Want it back? Later."
Hello? Anybody home?
I'm back here, James.
He appears around the side of the house and waves.
Damn, this place is nice. Ain't gonna get shot, Emma.
Not today. Owners are out of town.
Yeah.
He holds out her pad.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
He looks around.
Do you want to sit down?
Yeah.
He follows after her, his shirt slung over his white undershirt. They sit on cushioned deck chairs.
Do you swim?
He glances at her, sets his cigarette between his lips, and reaches for his left leg.
Not exactly, no.
I saw it on your walk.
Yeah. Get around okay.
Did you serve?
No. Take it you did?
Something like that. I just got back.
How's it going?
She nods and shrugs.
Yeah.
In a doctor's office.
And look straight up.
The doctor shines a pen light in each of her eyes.
And now the lip.
Lindsay touches her nose with her left hand.
Very good.
She lowers her arms.
So, Ativan, Cymbalta, Depakote, Vicodin, and a brain injury.
He smiles.
From which you appear to be recovering extremely well. With brain injuries, there are never any guarantees.
I'm feeling pretty good. In fact, I'd like to know what would happen if I stopped taking the medication.
You'd be a high risk of seizure, anxiety, withdrawal, and depression.
I feel fine.
Is it possible you feel fine because of the Cymbalta?
He studies her.
Could you explain to me what caused the brain injury?
Doesn't it say in there?
It says cerebral hemorrhage acquired in Afghanistan from an explosion while traveling in a vehicle.
That's what caused it.
But I want to hear your account of what happened.
I'm just asking to come off these meds. I've never been medicated before, and I don't intend to be for the rest of my life.
Lindsay, if you're looking for a neurologist who will give and take prescriptions like candies, I'm not the guy.
Sitting on the exam bed, she stares at him. She looks out the window for a moment.
I work for the Army Corps of Engineers. I specialize in water systems. I'd been deployed to work on a dam. Dam is a 20-minute drive from base. 3-vehicle convoy. 10 minutes from base, the lead vehicle explodes. I see it from the front window, and then my vehicle explodes. At first, I don't really know what happened, but the guy next to me, a sergeant, is on fire. Flames up his legs and on his chest, and he's beating them.
She looks away.
I can't see, I can't breathe. Eventually, someone gets the rear door open and some guys start getting out. I see the sunlight, so I try to move towards it. But there's gunshots everywhere, and the guys who are getting out are getting shot. They're just getting out, falling over. So I can't get out. But I need to get out because the guy next to me is on fire. Then I black out and I wake up in the hospital and they told me that the detonation caused my brain to start bleeding.
Her eyes meet the doctor's.
Does that help your diagnosis?
It does. Thank you for your candor.
Sitting in front of her, he makes a note in her file.
Tell me, how are you sleeping?
Not great.
Lindsay lies in bed, staring up at the ceiling. She enters the kitchen and pauses.
Hi.
Her mother smokes at the table.
Hi. You got food.
She takes a container from the fridge as her mother peers at mail.
Do you know how many times I've refinanced this place?
3.
Lindsay washes strawberries in the sink.
I talked to Debbie. They need someone in the office upstairs. We could take breaks together. That might be nice.
I have a job. I got a job.
You did doing what?
Cleaning pools.
What are you doing?
Pools. I'm cleaning them.
You'd rather work in 109 degree heat than in an air conditioned office in a department store? I told Debbie you'd meet with her. I told her all about you, how smart you are, how beautiful.
I can't work in an office right now.
Of course you can. It's a good job. It has insurance.
She takes another cigarette.
I can't stare at a screen all day.
Just try it. I know it's not your dream job, but you don't want to clean pools forever either.
That's just temporary until I can go back.
What do you mean back?
They stare at each other.
Are you kidding me? When are you going to tell me that? Will they even take you back?
I'm going to try.
In the shape you're in.
Lindsay shakes her head.
It's not your problem.
It is my problem when I get a call in the middle of the night from some doctor in Germany telling me my kid got blown up.
I'm fine. I'll be fine.
Okay, Lindsay. You're here for a visit. So visit. How are you?
Lindsay lowers her eyes.
I'm feeling very well.
Her mother watches her breathing become labored, and Lindsay hurries out the back door, throwing up near the driveway. Later, she sits on the edge of her bed, her elbow on her knees, and looks over her shoulder toward the door. Her eyes move to the dresser. She closes them for a moment, gets up, takes a pill from a bottle next to her daily pill organizer, and puts it in her mouth. In the daytime, she sits on a porch swing and looks at the website for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and clicks on the redeployment criteria. At another house.
Careful, Echo.
Thanks.
James and Lindsay carry an exercise machine.
This way?
They set it in the back of her pool cleaning truck and James slides it in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lindsay drives.
How much you pay for this thing?
$50. It's brutal, but I have to pass a test to get back to work.
You got to pass the test cleaning pools?
No, my old job.
Oh.
You ever use one?
I went PT a couple times. I ain't been to the gym in a while, though.
Me either. Hey, what's going on with my truck?
What truck? Things just get busy. Got this white lady. She called me to help her move gym equipment all the time, you know what I'm saying?
Weird.
What about you? How the pool business going?
It's cutthroat.
Really?
No.
Funny.
In Lindsay's driveway.
Just putting it right here, right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, don't get all Navy SEAL and overdo it, all right? It's hot.
I can handle the heat.
All right.
Thank you.
Anytime.
They peer at each other across the rowing machine.
Yeah, all right.
He steps away.
Hey, you want to get a burger or something?
Absolutely. I was going to say the same thing. I just didn't want to suggest that. I didn't want to be weird or anything. So, your treat, right?
I wasn't thinking that.
All right. I mean, I did just move a rowing machine for you.
At a bar, Lindsay sits in a booth.
You talking about shoes? That's how I was on you.
James brings over two bottles.
Thanks.
Yeah. She went to school with my mom.
Oh.
He sets down a soda, sits, and sips a beer.
So you really don't drink at all?
Huh?
You really don't drink at all?
I haven't tried.
You ain't never tried a beer?
No, not since I've been back. I'm kind of on a lot of medication.
What kind of medication?
Like, don't shoot yourself in the head kind of medication.
Okay. You mean like pain pills, crazy pills, happy pills?
So far, just pain and crazy.
Hey, can I buy you a beer?
What?
You are really beautiful. Can I buy you a beer?
I'm okay. Thank you.
Come on. Have a beer with me. You're in a bar drinking root beer. We're in New Orleans.
I think she said no, bro.
Yeah, I'll buy you a beer too, bro.
Definitely, Brian. No. Because I already got a beer. And, you know, my girl said no.
I'm not picking up that vibe. Are you his girl?
I'm really sorry. I have a boyfriend.
Wait, so she's your girl and she has a boyfriend?
Yeah, that's exactly right. She my girl and she got a boyfriend. That okay with you, bro?
Don't shoot me for trying.
Hey, you have a good night.
The man steps away.
Look, I know you're not my girl. You know what I mean? I mean,
hey, it's fine.
All right.
She smiles.
I didn't know you had a boyfriend.
Oh, I don't have a boyfriend. Are you with anybody?
No. I was engaged once.
What happened?
He studies his beer.
Lost my leg.
He shrugs, his eyes bleary, glances at her, and takes another sip.
Can I try a sip of your beer?
You sure?
She reaches out and he passes her his bottle. She takes a sip. Later, she stands on a street outside the bar and James saunters up, lighting a cigarette. He offers her the pack.
Thanks.
Yeah, last one.
She puts the cigarette to her lips and he lights it, the flame flickering over her face. She takes a puff and they cross the street together.
I wanted to say that thing about me not having a boyfriend.
Hey, no, I just...
No, well, let me just... I don't have boyfriends. I have girlfriends. I mean, not right now, but when I do, that's what I have.
Okay, I wasn't...
No, I know what you were doing, and I really appreciate it. I'm just telling you that, because now you know that about me.
She takes another puff, and he nods.
Okay. Well, okay. It's cool.
They stroll up the street.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's all good. It's all good.
Later, they sit on a long bench, light from a street lamp illuminating the area around them.
You know, I've never actually tried weed.
Are you serious?
I mean, my brother did enough drugs for the both of us.
Lindsay holds a beer.
Crack, meth, household detergent. Some alchemy he read online. Didn't work. Burned his lung.
Damn.
James takes a drag of a blunt, the lit end glowing brightly.
What happened to your leg?
I really ain't see that coming.
Well, what happened to it?
She turns toward him, propping up a foot.
It was in a car accident. I got in a car accident with Jess and her son, my nephew, Antoine, on the causeway. I remember looking in my rearview mirror and I could see Jess's face. I just remember looking in her eyes. It's like she was saying bye. Like,
he waves a hand.
See you later. And then I kind of wake up and I just feel this pressing into me, like this really hard, hard pressing, really hard. And it turns out the car was bent out of shape. And I'm bent with it. And this leg is so fucked up that I could look down and the sole of my shoe is looking right back at me. And then there's these people screaming outside the car. Not inside.
Did Jess die?
No. No, not just.
He keeps his gaze averted.
I'm so sorry.
He tilts his head, his arm draped over the backrest.
Yep.
Lindsay watches him take another drag of his blunt. She sips her beer. James peers at her over his blunt and holds it out. She takes it, frowns, and inhales. She slowly exhales and passes it back. He watches her.
Hey, you good?
She nods.
Hey, look, if it get dark now, you just ride it, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She stares at him.
How do I do that?
What's dog?
Being back here.
So you don't got love for this city?
It's not the city.
Then what is it?
She shakes her head.
It's that house. So many nights, sitting at that kitchen table, my brother would be nodding off. My mom would say, oh, poor thing, he's so tired. I miss him. He and I were both trapped in that house. But I'm the only one that made it out.
She looks away.
Anyway, and then I just never thought I would come back here. But then I got blown up.
You got what? You got blown up?
IED.
He stares at her. Later, Lindsay drives James's car up a dimly lit street. She glances at the passenger seat, where he sleeps slumped to the side. The rosary hanging from his rearview mirror swings as she stops. She notices a picture of a young boy on the dash. She jerks. The car behind her passes them and speeds away, and she resumes driving. Later, she drives up a residential street and turns into a driveway beside a house. She climbs out and looks at the house. James lumbers around the car and grabs a side stair railing. He stumbles.
Oh, shit. Oh, thank you.
They enter a kitchen. James bends over to drink from a sink.
Okay, well.
What's the rush?
She shrugs.
You in a rush?
No.
Me neither.
Thanks.
He hands her a beer from the fridge, gets one for himself, and strides past her. Lindsay looks around the neat kitchen and follows him into a living room. He sits on a leather couch as she strolls through to an open door across the room and peeks inside.
It's a nice house. Big.
Yeah, it's too big for me. You think?
I got nothing against big houses.
She sits in an armchair.
Yeah, it's a family home.
You grew up here?
No. Me and Jess bought it. After my mama died, just living there together. 3 years of me, her, Antoine.
He holds his beer to his cheek.
It was,
He stares off into the distance, toying with the neck of the unopened bottle. He looks at Lindsay.
Good.
He twists off the cap and tosses it onto the coffee table.
You stayed?
Just moved out and I... Yeah, I did. I stayed.
She looks away.
My mom stayed. in the house we all shared. She's the only one left.
I don't know what you're talking about.
She shakes her head.
I don't think it's healthy staying.
For her? Or for me?
With a small smile, she shakes her head again.
Actually, me.
He leans his head back.
Oh, you know, you don't have to live with your mother.
She stares.
Mm-mm. Come over now.
What?
Yeah, move in. Yeah. You got your own room. You know how many rooms I got? I wouldn't even know you was here.
He watches her sip her beer and smile.
I don't think that's...
I'm not hitting on you, nothing, I'm just...
I know, but you're drunk.
That's true. Just be nice to have someone around. Have coffee together in the morning. You know, smoke in the evening. Cook together sometime. That's what we used to do.
She averts her eyes and drinks her beer. He wrinkles his nose and shrugs.
Hey. It's whatever. Thank you for the ride.
Sure.
Lindsay strides up a dark street, porch lights and street lamps lighting her way and illuminating her expressionless face. Kids ride past her on bicycles. Later, she enters her house. She walks past a table to a living room. Her mother sits on the couch, smoking.
Please don't judge me.
I'm not judging you.
Tissues litter the coffee table.
Where you been?
Out with a friend.
Have you been drinking?
A little, maybe.
Lindsay, I thought you were the responsible one.
I am the responsible one.
Just don't turn into your Aunt Leslie. Or anyone from my family. Or your father's side.
Okay, Mom.
You hungry?
I just had a burger.
She smiles softly at Lindsay.
You used to be the funniest little kid. Then you became so serious.
Lindsay stares at her and purses her lips.
Oh, you're probably tired.
Her mother cocks her head.
You got work tomorrow?
Later, Lindsay sits on the back steps.
This is luxury.
Wearing a black slip, her mother lounges in an inflatable pool holding a margarita glass.
So what are your doctors saying?
My next appointment's on the 22nd.
I'll drive you.
No, you don't have to do that.
No, I wanna. They treat you better if you have someone with you. They know somebody cares about you, so you must not be too awful.
You sure?
Yes. Is that unbelievable?
Sorry. Thank you.
Aren't your tits sweating? Get your ass in this pool. It's good for you. It'll relax you.
Standing, Lindsay looks down at the small pool and puts a foot in.
Ah, oh, jeez, don't get in all at once.
Angling away, she pulls off her t-shirt, leaving her in a sports bra and gym shorts. Quickly sitting in the pool, she grins as water splashes her mother, who shifts and splashes her back. Her mom adjusts her slip over her thighs and wipes her face. She smiles at Lindsay. They move their legs in the water.
What?
We're so far away.
Sitting upright, Lindsay looks away.
I don't know. I wanted to.
But why? Why'd you want to?
A lot of reasons.
Any you want to share?
No.
She lowers her eyes and her mother studies her.
You just couldn't stand it here?
The water ripples as Lindsay moves her arm.
You can tell me the truth.
No, I couldn't.
She meets her mother's eyes.
When I was your age, I couldn't stay in one place either. I get you. I really do.
They peer at each other for a long moment. Lindsay's mom reaches outside the pool for her glass.
Time for a refill.
They smile. Lindsay takes her hand as she rises and climbs out. Lindsay watches her go back into the house. Lindsay looks through the screen door.
Don't be cute. Well, you're an idiot, but I don't want to see you.
She stares ahead, expressionless.
Oh, really? Come on, let me move to the bedroom. No, I'm not doing anything.
Sunlight shines on a rippling pool of water. The trees bordering a house near the pool sway in the breeze. At another house, a fountain and lush ornamental plants decorate a poolside. And at another, a brightly colored ball floats on the water. At different pools, Lindsay skims pool nets through the water, dressed in her uniform of dark shorts and a blue t-shirt. At one of the pools, she wears sunglasses and sleeves rolled up to her shoulders. She stands at a pool looking down at the water with her cleaning supplies behind her. She pulls off her clothes, tosses them aside, and steps into the pool in her sports bra and underwear. She swims beneath the rippling surface. She swims to the side of the pool. She holds on to the side, breathing hard. In her carport, she uses the rowing machine, grimacing as she pulls on the handle. She pushes herself back with her feet. In her room, she lies on her side on the bed and plays the memory card game. Later, she sits at the dinner table, staring at a set of French windows facing the street. She exits her house. She comes down the steps, chewing on her lip as she marches down the sidewalk.
Hey, thank you. I'm so sorry.
Don't be sorry. It's cool.
Stupid to think I could depend on her.
She let you down a lot.
Yeah. Somehow it still surprises me.
It's all good. Come on. You got time. Probably even got time to get you that snowball you ain't get the other day.
You think?
It's on me.
She smiles as they get into his car. Later, she stands outside a store. James comes out with two cups of crushed ice.
Mm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is that vanilla?
Oh, yeah. What, something wrong with vanilla?
I just didn't even know they made vanilla.
Oh, well, you got a whole rainbow in your cup.
Yeah, that's the point.
Her hand spasms and she drops her cup.
Look, sorry. I'll just get you another.
No, I don't want another.
No, I got enough.
No, I don't want another snowball. I want to not fucking drop shit. Sorry.
So you drop shit. What's that about?
I still have a few glitches from the accident.
So that's what the doctor for, fixing it?
No, I mean, I'm fixed.
She turns to a bench along the store wall. She sits, and after a moment, James joins her.
Okay.
He holds out his cup. She accepts it and takes a bite.
Let's see.
It's good.
So this doctor you going to, you just going for fun?
No, I need him to clear me so I can go back.
You got blown up over there and you want to go back?
I just have to get out of here.
He shakes his head.
And all I need is this guy to sign a piece of paper.
Leaning his head back against the wall, he eyes her, then looks away, nodding. He raises his cup.
I'm getting you another snowball. So see you eyeing mine, and I ain't sharing it no more. Look, I got enough cash to cover you for two more. After that, you on your own.
He lumbers past a bench full of people.
How y'all doing? All right.
Headache?
No.
Sleeping?
Great.
Mood?
He eyes her.
Fine. Yeah. I'm good.
With a small smile, she watches him write in her file.
I was actually thinking, it's time for me to go back.
To the military?
Redeploy, yes.
You honestly feel you have a clean bill of health?
Yes, I have my post-deployment screening, my hearing test, my vision test, my scans from Nebraska. What's left?
Possible risk of re-injury compounding the TBI, and above all, your mental health.
Well, that's my risk to take, and I told you I feel fine.
Lindsay, smoking is linked to lung cancer. Extreme trauma is linked to PTSD and depression. In fact, the link is stronger. I'm not ready to sign a waiver.
I'm the one that has to be ready.
It's both of us.
At night, James's car slows to a stop on the dark residential street. He looks at Lindsay from the side.
I really appreciate today.
Sure.
She turns to him.
I'm not working tomorrow. Do you want to come by in the afternoon?
Tomorrow afternoon?
You're working?
I'm making a schedule, so.
Well, we could go to that pool on Octavia. The owners are still out of town.
Well, I'm not much of a swimmer, so.
We could just get high.
He looks out his window.
Yeah, that could work.
It's on me.
Oh, okay.
Getting out, she bends to give him a small smile through the window and walks away. He watches her cross the narrow street to her house. As he drives away, his right taillight turns off. In the daytime, the tops of a line of trees reflect off a pool's surface. Lindsay stands at the edge, her hands in the back pockets of her jeans. At night, she sits with her legs in the water, holding a beer and smoking a joint illuminated by the pool lights. James sits on a deck chair.
Okay. We gotta get in this pool now.
Nah. I'm still cool.
Come on, we gotta go swimming. Owners are back next week.
He wipes his face with bandana as she stands and pulls off her clothes. Smiling, she sits and slides into the water.
It's so good. Mm-mm. Come on. Yes.
Eyeing her, he takes off his pinky ring. He pulls off his jeans one leg at a time. She grins at him from the pool. Treading water, she watches him unstrap his prosthetic leg and set it down, exposing the sock covering his knee joint and thigh. He wipes his face and rolls it off. Her smile fades. He lowers himself to the ground and slides over to the pool edge and into the water. She makes a beckoning gesture with her hands. He takes off his t-shirt.
Whoa! I can't believe you actually got in.
He splashes her. She ducks in. He steps forward and watches her dark shadow moving underwater. Her head breaks the surface.
How long was that?
I used to practice holding my breath as a kid.
What's the longest you ever had it?
26 years.
I got you beat by 4 years. Challenge me to a race?
You sure about that?
You count it up?
3, 2, 1.
Oh, what the fuck? Oh, what?
He stops as she swims ahead.
Oh, shit. Michael Phelps?
Woo!
Like I got a propeller on this thing.
Later, they sit shoulder deep against the wall with their heads leaning back against the edge. Lindsay stares straight ahead, expressionless.
I feel like I lied to you.
When?
When I told you about the accident.
Lied how?
Oh, not lied. Just... I left something out. I wasn't really clear. It's the same thing.
Because you didn't say that you were driving?
He nods and looks away.
No.
You said you saw Jess in the rearview mirror, so kind of figured.
He moves his head from side to side heavily.
Antoine was sitting next to me. He was in the passenger seat. He kept saying he wanted to sit next to me in the front seat, so he just said no. That he was too small. That he needed to be in the child seat. And I said, yeah. I said, yes. Thought I was supposed to see us the shit like that.
He shakes his head.
Give him what he asked for. Spoil him. You see,
you don't need to say anything.
She hugs him. He wraps an arm around her, his eyes shut. She eases away and presses her lips to his. He kisses her back. She backs up.
Sorry, I shouldn't have done that.
Why'd you do it then?
He stares at her.
I just felt so bad for you.
He rolls his eyes and she frowns. He swims away.
James, come back.
He pulls himself to the pool steps, climbs up to the edge, and backs up to the deck chair.
James,
no go.
He picks up his shirt.
You felt bad for me?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
I got enough people feeling bad for me.
He puts the sock on his leg.
That's not how I meant it.
Then what you mean? Oh, yeah, you don't know. What is this?
What is what?
What are we doing here, huh? I pick you up, I drop you off, and I buy you snowballs, huh? Tell you something, you want a driver? Call a fucking taxi. What you want from me?
So I don't want to fuck you now? You don't want to be friends?
Oh, okay, I want to fuck you. I want to fuck you, but you just kissed me. You really need to figure your shit out. I don't even understand you. Actually, I don't know shit about you, but I tell you what I do know. Facts. You blew up in Afghanistan or Iraq or whatever the fuck it was. You play basketball with my sister. Yeah, and you got a dead brother.
I don't have a dead brother.
What you say?
When did I say I have a dead brother?
He was. You miss him. You had. Past tense. He always past tense.
He's in prison.
What?
He's a junkie and a dealer.
You made me think he was dead.
No.
Yeah, you did. Because you only talk about him like he did.
Maybe that's how it feels. Why does it fucking matter to you?
That is bullshit. Or you just want people to think he's gone so they don't know that you left his ass for dead.
You don't know shit about it or about me.
Okay.
Did you just assume we were the same broken people wallowing in it?
Fuck you!
Fuck you! You think I lied about my brother? What about you? You let your nephew ride in the front seat that night. What else did you leave out? Were you drinking? Were you drinking?
As she glares at him from the middle of the pool, he stares down at her. His eyes shift, and she swallows. He nods, lips pursed.
I'd had two beers. What's your excuse, though? How you treat friends, your family? Everybody there just to be escaped from, just to be left behind. Like they let you down instead of the other way around.
He turns and walks away, his t-shirt slung over his shoulder. The pool light shines over the submerged part of Lindsay's body, her skin pale in the water. Later, she turns on the light in a bathroom, her hair hanging in wet strands. Holding the wall, she leans over the tub. She takes off her jeans using the wall for support, climbs into the tub and tugs off her sleeveless t-shirt. And pulls her knees up against her chest. The sun shines outside her window as she lies on her back in bed, staring at the ceiling. Later, she runs up a street. She looks around, sees her house, and stops, closing her eyes for a moment. She sits on the doctor's exam bed.
And the other.
Arms outstretched, she touches her nose with her left hand. Later, she sits across a desk from the doctor.
I would like to go back.
It's a very hard judgment call.
I understand why you would think that. Do I still have any trace of my injury? I'm sure. But am I going to be a risk to anybody, unable to carry out my duties? No. I want to go where I'm useful.
Can you go back? Yes. Should you go back? It's a different question.
You said the link between trauma and depression is stronger than the link between smoking and cancer.
Much stronger.
What if Afghanistan wasn't the only trauma? What then?
He glances at the open file on his desk.
Okay, Lindsay. I'll sign the waiver.
She lets out a breath. At the pool. Smashed glass, discarded joints, and beer bottles litter the ground around the deck chairs. In her uniform, Lindsay puts the bottles into a trash bag, picks up James's bandana, and adds it to the bag. She exits a gate and dumps the bag and a bucket of cleaning supplies in the back of the company truck. She gets in and drives away. Later, she sits on her back steps.
James, leave a message.
She shuts her flip phone, lets out a breath, and stares off into the distance. Outside James's repair shop, she leans against her truck. The door opens and a man comes out.
You're all set. I'll bring it back if it gives you any problems.
Thanks. Is James in?
Not today. No.
Frowning, she nods.
All right, well, how much do I owe you guys?
Didn't James tell you it's free?
What?
Yeah, he said you were in the army or something.
The man strides back to the shop. Later, she drives, her loose hair flying from the wind coming through the open window. She tucks it behind her ear. She strides down a white-walled hallway with fluorescent lights overhead. Behind her, a man in a police uniform crosses the hallway to enter a room. Another walks past her. The door slides closed behind her, and she turns into a room with a row of booths against the wall and a guard standing outside. She smiles across the glass at a blonde man in an orange jumpsuit. He grins back at her and signs. Subtitles appear. It's you. You're alive. Laughing, she signs back. Yeah, I'm alive. It's been a long time. I'm sorry I didn't come sooner. Don't worry. Mom hasn't come to see me since the sentencing. Really? Yeah. Is she okay? She's fine. I worry about her. She wrote me a letter. Seems like she's having a hard time. Mom can't take care of herself. How are you? I'm good. You know, I'm comfortable. Are you healthy? Smiling, he lowers his eyes for a moment, then raises his eyebrows. Am I healthy? I've been trying to gain some weight. I've got some friends in here. There's not much to do, so I've been trying to go to the gym. Lindsay smiles. He cocks his head and smiles softly. Honestly, I'm better off in here. She frowns. He looks away for a moment. I'm safe here. Out there, I don't trust myself. She gives him a small smile. Enough about me. How are you? I'm good. I got hurt. His smile fades and his eyes widen. But I'm okay. His expression grows serious. I'm really sorry. Frowning, she shakes her head, her eyes swelling. I'm not sad for me. I'm just sorry, too. He smiles and puts his hand against the glass with the middle and ring finger folded, signing, I love you. She places hers against his on her side. I miss you. I miss you. He grins and moves his hand away. She leaves hers in place, gazing at him. She rests her cheek in her hand and they smile at each other across the booth. At the house, Lindsay cleans the bottom of her mother's pool, moving a mop methodically back and forth. Later, she sits on a bench against a shaded wall, wearing a swimsuit. Rising, she walks to a crowded public swimming pool. Squinting in the sun, she steps into the water, looking around with a small smile. She dives in, disappearing between kids under the bright blue water. She walks past a gray painted house and a red and yellow house carrying a case of beer. She stops on the sidewalk in front of another colorful house and looks across the street. She lets out a breath, walks across to a gate and stops. James sits on his front steps. He stares at her.
Going on. I know that truck can't break down.
Truck's fine. Thanks for that. You didn't have to do that.
So what you doing here?
You asked me if I wanted to move in, remember?
No.
I remember.
Lindsay enters the gate and sets the beer down on the step below him.
Would you want to make the offer again?
He leans back, studying her.
It would be good to have someone around. Have coffee with in the morning, smoke in the evening, cook dinner sometimes.
And what's that supposed to mean?
They're all things you said.
Lips pursed, he snorts and shakes his head.
So, you're not leaving?
I don't think so. Not now, at least.
She shrugs. He sits forward, his elbows on his knees.
And I'm trying to make a friend.
He studies her. She looks up at him. A small breeze blows. Cut to black. Credits appear, directed by Lila Neugebauer, written by Otessa Moschweg and Luke Goebel and Elizabeth Sanders. Credits continue.
I've got to get away from here somehow. I don't know.